I was just listening to the very last recording, Prabhupada's very last recording here in Vrindavan before leaving, before dying. And it's very interesting. One day earlier, Prabhupada was very healthy. Very healthy. He was doing better than before. Drank half a kilo of milk. Was talking very strongly and called for his godbrother, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj. And they spoke at length. He was just there. And Babaji Maharaj mentioned to Prabhupada that Bon Maharaj was there. As soon as Prabhupada heard that, immediately asked to see him. And so they make an arrangement. He wanted Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj to be there as well. That he would go to Bon Maharaj's place from where he stays at Imlital, and together they would come over in the evening, and then they would take prasadam after seeing Prabhupada. So then this is on the 13th evening. It's 24 hours before Prabhupada leaves, and he comes. Prabhupada says dandavat.
Only one garland came,
and he offers. Offers his obeisance, and he asks for forgiveness for offenses. And he's talking Bengali for a while. I have to look to see if that's actually translated. The Bengali, mostly it's Bon Maharaj talking. But you can appreciate Bon Maharaj's, because there was, Prabhupada was quite critical of him, not just Prabhupada, but Prabhupada's other godbrothers, because he must have made an offense to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, for which he performed like austerities to atone. And basically he didn't really appreciate so much the Prabhupada's efforts. But he was considered very senior and respected by everyone because he's the one that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was sent to London. And I met him. He came in 1975 to Toronto in 1974. And from there he came to Montreal and stayed at the temple for a few days. But in any case, in this discussion, it's sort of like a reconciliation. And Bon Maharaj is praising Prabhupada's work, his preaching, the book. He's Sikh, actually. He went. And when he came at that time, 74, 75, he traveled to temples. At least then he went to Toronto and Montreal, because he was invited to speak in Toronto, and then he also, I think, went to some American temples, and he spoke beautiful English, Queen's English. But they sort of made up, and when he's showing appreciation for Prabhupada's word, Prabhupada said, Pandava, see, he wanted, it was obvious Prabhupada wanted to show him that what he was sent for had been done, and to get him to at least recognize that, otherwise that would be offensive then to Srila Prabhupada. And also because he was the person who was sent, he was such a senior man. And next day, that was it, Prabhupada was gone. It was quite interesting that it was the last thing that Prabhupada did. There's no more recordings on the 14th, Prabhupada's just laying there. Had things on his mind, things he wanted to do and achieve. And it seems that, especially when he heard, as soon as he heard Bhan Maharaj is in town, asked Babaji Maharaj if he could bring him over. Of all his Prabhupada's god brothers and so on, Krishna Babaji Maharaj was the only one who repeatedly came on his own to visit Srila Prabhupada. And they would chat, or he would just sit there and chant japa and laugh. Anyway, but Prabhupada did that when he left. That was it.
There was great mercy on Bhan Maharaj. Was it Maharaj?
Yeah.
That he showed such compassion to the Bhan Maharaj that he wanted to have him not be an offensive man.
Srila Prabhupada did that with his sometime much earlier on, August, Prabhupada received a telegram from before he came to England, from Madhav Maharaj. Madhav Maharaj is another really senior Gaudiya Math figure, associate of Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur, born in a Brahmin family. And he sent a telegram to Prabhupada, hearing your health is not good, praying to Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for your well-being. So Prabhupada immediately told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said, send him back the telegram. That's how the quick communication was, by telegram, saying, all I said was, all you God brothers, please forgive me for my offenses. It. Then he said, received your telegram. And then he asked Tamal Krishna Maharaj to read it back. He had him read it back to make sure he got it right. He wanted to make sure they got the message. The Prabhupada was very saying harmony?
Yeah, he wanted to have harmony, didn't he? Different devotees have different, like in ISKCON, different devotees have different styles and different things they want to do. Sometimes they disagree, but ultimately just for the pleasure of Krishna. There can be harmony, although I guess center. I don't know.
What I wanted was God brothers. I wanted them to work together because that was what your son, the Saraswati Thakur, wanted. But what the parameters for that would have been, because that's a sentiment, and that was a desire, but how that would have ended up working practically, I knew about to find out. And Prabhupada did mention some things, saying that they made his disciples would have a majority because he's preaching all over the world, major part of the world. Working with, working under are two different things. No way that they would have been willing to work under any type of ISKCON management. Anyway, it never happened.
Succession. This is conceived of like a tree. Mahaprabhu is the main branch. No, he's the trunk, isn't he? He's the trunk. So I listened to one comment Srila Prabhupada made. He said that he gave some axiomatic truth about, I can't remember the saying, you probably know it, but he said that the disciplic succession of different branches, they may have slightly different, they might look a little different, but if you take a tree and you rub the two leaves together, the taste is the same.
So yeah, so the fruit has to be the same.
The same fruit, yeah.
Prabhupada, you know, said that to some disciples, if you don't want to work in ISKCON, that's all right. You can start your own organization, pretty far out thing. Prabhupada said it.
Yeah.
He said, a tree's not beautiful if it doesn't have many flowers, many fruit. He says, but they all have to taste the same. He says, that's the key. So the taste has to be the same. That was quite a unusual thing for Prabhupada to say, since Prabhupada always emphasized about just keeping ISKCON unified.
Yeah. But if the different, like, there's many different leaders in ISKCON that have their own particular inspiration on how they want to take the movement. I was thinking, this is okay, because it's like a different branch. And I think it's, I was thinking myself, it's actually essential, because it will enable the preaching to diversify more. But if we keep if you become too centralized, like one branch of a tree, if it keeps growing and growing and growing, eventually the weight will fall. But if you have counter branches, it keeps it. So I was thinking like that. It's important that we don't centralize too much and give individuals, you know, the diversity and the inspiration that they feel how they want to spread Krishna consciousness. I don't know why that's...
But it needs to have the same fruit.
As long as it's the same fruit, yeah.
It has to have the same fruit.
Yeah.
That which is the question, whether it has the same fruit.
That's the question.
And then there's also still a unified society with one ultimate authority.
Yeah.
That can't change either. That's part of the that's the tree.
The main trunk of the tree.
Well, the society is this gun. The society is not.
It's the
different people's approach to Iskand. They want something really different than Iskand, like Prabhupada said, start your own society.
Yeah.
But then don't call it Iskand. And don't try and ride on the laurels of Iskand.
Yeah, they have to work under constitution of Iskand or whatever.
Which will mean that it's like a tree. A tree can't go every which way. It stays in a certain place.
Yeah.
And rooted the same way.
Yeah, or the sub branches have to stay connected to the main branch of Iskand.
Yeah. So there'll be limits, and the fruit has to be the same in a tree. Tree's a tree.
Yeah.
It has to